Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amshuman, Text 43. Name Brahma Kulat Purana. Kula Daivana Chatmaja. Nastriona Mahirajam. Nadaras Chati Valabha Na Not Me My Brahmakulat. Then the group of Brahmanas. Prana Life Kula Daivat. Then the personalities worshipable for my family. Na, not. Cha, also. Atmaja, sons and daughters. Na, nor. Striya, opulence. Na, nor. Mahi, the earth. Rajam, kingdom. Na, nor. Dara, wife. Cha, also, Adivalava, extremely dear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Kadvanga thought, not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children, and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas. Purport. Maharaj Kadvanga, being in favor of the Brahminical culture, wanted to utilize one moment's time by fully surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is worshipped with this prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality, to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, who is the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmanas, as well as the living entities in general. I offer my repeated obeisances to Govinda, who is the pleasure reservoir for all the senses. A devotee of Krishna is very much attached to Brahminical culture, indeed an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and who he wants to be and what he wants is a real Brahmana. Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha. Krishna is the Param Brahman, and therefore all Krishna conscious persons or devotees of Krishna are exalted Brahmanas. Kadvanga Maharaj regarded the devotees of Krishna as the real Brahmanas and the real light for human society. Those who desire to advance in Krishna consciousness and spiritual understanding must give the utmost importance to Brahminical culture and must understand Krishna, Krishnaya Govindaya, and his life will be successful. Name Brahma Kulat Prana Kulat Daivam Na Chatmaja Nastriyo Namaha Hi Rajam Nadaras Chati Valava. Maharaj Kadvanga thought, that even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children, and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas. Unfortunately, we were not raised in a society where there was culture, what to speak of Brahminical culture. And therefore, when we hear about the word Brahminical culture, I don't know what we imagine, what we're thinking when we hear these words, but it seems far away. And what to speak of cows? Cows? What's a cow? Is that culture? A cow is a culture? So therefore, without studying Bhagavad Gita and try to understand what Krishna is talking about when he talks about Brahmins in the mode of goodness, then it's very vague to us what was being described here. But let's take the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number, actually I forgot the text number, I'd guess 17:5. No, it wouldn't start so early. It would be a little later. 17:14. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam socham arjavam brahmacharyam himsam cha sharira tapa uchite. So generally we take the devas, the demigods, but actually means ultimately the supreme deva, Krishna. Dvija, the brahmanas, the twice-born. Guru, those who have instructing, who have knowledge. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya. And I think pragya usually means intelligence, but here it's worshipable personalities. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya, which means, I guess you would say all our shiksha gurus. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya, pujanam, worship of them. Socham, arjavam, and cleanliness of mind and physical body. Pujanam, socham, arjavam, and simplicity. Everything is actually quite simple. It's just our minds make everything complicated, because we want to be something we're not. So that makes things complicated. When you try to think illusion is reality, things get really complicated. If you believe everything except for the truth, then things are very difficult to understand properly. Brahmacharyam, celibacy, ahimsa, nonviolence. Brahmacharyam himsam shariram tapa uchite. These are austerities of the body. So this is just one element. The physical body, austerity in the physical body for tapa, for austerity. Now Krishna happens to say, in the 17th chapter, he's only going to go over austerity, penance, and charity. I think that's all he goes over. In any case, in the 18th chapter, Krishna mentions that austerity, charity, and penance, they must be performed because they purify even the great souls. And everything can be done because everyone is giving some charity, everyone's doing some penance, everyone's going through some austerity, but it can be done in any of the modes of nature. But Brahminical culture means it should be done in the mode of goodness. Everything should be done in the mode of goodness. It's not just protecting cows and washing our hands sometimes. Everything should be in the mode of goodness. Our consciousness should be in the mode of goodness. And therefore, everything we're doing, as Krishna will go over, intelligence, determination, knowledge, charity, happiness, and they're all part of Brahminical culture in the mode of goodness. But we have to understand a little at a time, such as deva, dvija, guru, pragya. A respectful attitude towards, if not worshipable. If we can't be worshipable, at least we should be respectful. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya. Pujanam. Worship. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, superiors like the father and mother. I guess superiors means the father and mother, probably translates. So we have to learn how to be respectful, if not worshipable. Worshipable means we not only respect them, but we actually find something that's attractive to us, that's appreciable, that's exemplary, that we might want to put into our own lives and follow their footsteps. Or we want to follow their instructions at least, if not always their example. Pujanam Socham Arjuna. So this is just for the body, like cleanliness or celibacy. So this is something we can look at. It's usually easier to be in the mode of goodness with the body. It's not such a mental struggle to wash our hands. Or not to avoid situations which we were going to be compromised. So this kind of situation, for instance, usually we have the ladies on this side and we have the men on this side. So why do we do that? It's not that we hate the ladies or we hate the men. That's not the purpose. Because we could mix together and everyone can hold their hands. But it might result in some kind of tragic ending of our devotional service. Because there's such a thing as illusion. Most people don't, they think the illusion is that people are not like animals. They think the real illusion is that people are not, they're not following their senses sufficiently. The demands of their senses and mind. That's the problem in the world, is that people aren't, they don't have the freedom to become completely like animals. And when they see that there is some restriction of the senses, people think it's abominable. These people are torturing themselves. They're not acting normally like an animal. Because they don't believe there's such a thing as a human being. They think human beings are an artificial construct, and that the real human beings and animals are the same, just that human beings have been misled into trying to act like a human being instead of an animal. But they don't know that there's a soul, and the soul has nothing to do with the body, and the soul becomes influenced by its external activities, either in goodness or in passion or in ignorance, or transcendentally, if it chooses to be so. That the soul has a choice whether he wants to become, what mode of material nature he wants to become involved in, and getting involved in passion, ignorance is not recommended. If one wants to realize one's real self. Now, that's quite external, brahmacharyam, ahimsam. Of course, probably we have to find out what ahimsa is. Like we have ahimsa milk. I'm drinking milk, so I'm nonviolent. This ahimsa milk. That may be kind of nonviolence, drinking ahimsa milk. But actually, nonviolence probably defines as not putting people in distress. And people in distress because they've forgotten Krishna, and therefore any interaction we have with others which are not helping them remember Krishna is actually committing violence against them. That's reality, of course, depending what stage of reality we're at, they say, oh, that's really extreme, that's really a high standard. You mean every time I meet someone, I have to try to help them become Krishna conscious? That's too much. Well, there's an advantage of doing like that. Like, we'll become Krishna conscious ourselves. We'll actually develop the proper service attitude towards Krishna, because that's his mission. And then Krishna goes a little... Surprisingly, it goes right into the words. Words are, we can say, are equated with intelligence. Because words are what creates intelligence. Sound vibration is how our intelligence is developed. Or destroyed, depending on what kind of words we're hearing. So therefore, Krishna next goes into, in the mode of goodness, what speaking is. Manak prasadams, no, actually, Anuvegam karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swareya byasanam chaiva vangmana tabuchite. So if we're going to learn anything, at least we should learn these things. We may do so many studying, we may read so many hours, but at the end of all these hours we're studying, we can't remember what austerity with the body is, or with our words, or with our mind, then we're more or less wasting our time. So Krishna says, our austerity of speaking is, of course it's not translated necessarily in the order, but anuvega karam vakyam, which means not to agitate other people's minds. Satya, we should tell the truth. Priya, and it should be it should be pleasing. Hita, it should be beneficial. And swadaya abhyasanam chaiva, it should actually follow the Vedic scripture. Without that, our speaking will not really help ourselves or help anyone else. There may be some things that are more important, like it should follow the Vedic scripture. But the Vedic scriptures are not a club that we hit people over the head with. They're not ostriches. Oh, you don't like me? Here's a verse. Here's my verse. Surrender, you rascal. No, it's actually, there's qualities that should be imbued within the speaking, and the more of these qualities are there, the more effective we'll be in actually becoming conscious of Krishna and spreading consciousness of Krishna. So we have to examine them. Anu vegam karam vakyam. Vega means pushing. Anu means continuously. Continuously just pushing people over the edge. Oh, help! Surrender. No, I won't. Okay. I'll push you over the edge. Agitating people's minds. We're trying to give them love of God, and we're going to torture them to do it. Love God. No. Oh, yes, you got to love God. No, stop. I surrender. I'll love God. Yes. That has to be something voluntary that people have to... We have to have... Present things to people that they can actually assimilate. We may have the nicest food, but if we stuff it down people's mouth more than they can digest, it won't be very helpful for them. Here's a philosophy. Here, take it. Oh, I can't. No, it has to be digestible. It has to be appropriate according to their digestive power. And it should be anuvega karam vakyam satya. So it should be honest, truthful. Not that we call black white and white black and try and convince people of it. There is something called material truthfulness.
I think Rob will
translate this truthful. Now, what's ultimately, truthfulness is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we're all His eternal servants. That's the ultimate truth. And then there are also relative truths that should be implemented as much as possible. But the ultimate truth, as we saw in the case of Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he was told to tell Dronacharya that his son Ashwatthama was dead, and he hesitated to do it, he wasn't ultimately being truthful, because ultimate truth is to serve Krishna, and he didn't want to do that. Satyam Priya, it should be pleasing. People will probably listen to what we say if we're saying things that are pleasing. People are actually looking for nectar, they're not looking for poison. Here's pure transcendental poison. Please take it. Hitam. And it should be beneficial. It should actually help people advance in Krishna consciousness in some way or another, either through the modes of nature or better than that, is it helps them understand how to improve their relationship with Krishna. Of course, even advancing through the modes of nature is a kind of improvement in their relation with Krishna. The deeper into the modes of nature, the more one is in ignorance and passion, the more one is separated from one's relation with Krishna. But the most direct way, of course, is devotional service and understanding that we're Krishna's eternal servant. Swadhyaya. And of course, everything is based on Shastra. We have to know what is to be done and what's not to be done in every respect by Shastra. So it should be Swadhyaya Vyasanam Chaiva. We should practice, try to understand and see things through Shastra. So that's great advancement if we try to speak in that way, if we're conscious of what we're saying and how we're saying it. That requires intelligence. And the more we use our intelligence, the more we refine our speaking, and it becomes more effective both for the person we're speaking to and also to ourselves, because we have to listen to what we say too. And then Krishna goes, Manat prasada somya tvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshidir itye tad tamo manasam uchate. So there's austerity of the mind, which is quite significant, because the whole idea is to fix our mind upon Krishna. Of course, that's done with intelligence, but then we have to see whether or not we're using our intelligence to fix our minds upon Krishna. So the first one is manak, the mind. Manak prasada. What does prasad mean in this? Prasad, yeah. More prasad I eat, the more my mind is. Yes. What does prasad mean here? Does anyone know? Well, that's a good guess. Yes, satisfaction. Who said that? Oh. Our second brain. Hopefully the electricity doesn't go off. Then we stop functioning. Yes, satisfaction, prasad. Manak prasadam, somya tvam, what is somya, without looking at your little book there. What does somya tvam mean? Yeah, that's right, equanimity. Check, does the book say equanimity? What does it say?
Being without duplicity towards others.
Okay. Manak prasana somnyatvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshudir itya itat tvam manasam uchate. Samya tvam actually means, samya means equanimity. So without duplicity means to see everyone as Krishna's servant in that way. So there's the sense that it's without duplicity. Duplicity means without seeing people's friend and enemy and therefore acting in such a way as their friend and enemy, their whatever. It's the equanimity. So monam, what does monam mean? Malnam. Yeah, silence. So, Krishna conscious. Devotee is always silent because he only speaks about Krishna. Monam Atma Vinigraha. What does Atma Vinigraha mean? Something with the Atma Vinigraha. What's that? Manak prasadam samya monam atma vinigra bhava samshudira. Samshudira is purification, one's existence. Vinigra. Enlivenment, something about enlivenment. Control, vinigra. control the mind. Manak prasadam swam yatvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshudir utyetad
tamo manasam pujate bhava samshudir, purification one's nature.
So these are austerities of the mind. So if we learn these, we can see, is my mind austere right now in the mode of goodness? Manak prasada samyatvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshudhi etyeta tamo manasam uchite. And these things are especially taken care of by hearing, understanding the philosophy, seeing everyone, for instance, respecting anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, at least within the mind, and cooperating with the devotees and taking instructions from higher authorities, then the mind can actually be in the... Of course, the whole idea is to always be taking instructions from the higher authorities so that we know how to properly cooperate with others in the Sankirtan movement, and we can help the innocent. There's no question of being able to do these things independently of taking example and instruction from higher authorities. Then it's possible to, that's using the intelligence, and it's possible to control the mind like that. But we should know these subtleties too. Monam means, for instance, to think about Krishna, silence, and to not only talk about Krishna. That's monam. What's that? Maunam. Anyhow, this is not the only thing in the mode of goodness. There's also intelligence in the mode of goodness. There's knowledge in the mode of goodness. There's determination in the mode of goodness. There's happiness in the mode of goodness. There's work in the mode of goodness. There's a worker in the mode of goodness. This is all in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So we have to see, am I acting in goodness or am I in the passion? And if we can change from passion and ignorance to goodness, then our Krishna consciousness becomes much simpler to execute. And if we're in ignorance and passion, our intelligence is constantly being carried away by the waves of ignorance and passion. And it's very hard to understand the value of Krishna consciousness. We forget, because that's part of the material nature, carrying our, by Trividan or Akasyedam Dwaram Nashitam Atmanaha Kama Krodha Tata Lobas Tasmat Etam Triyam Chajet. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self, because they take away our intelligence, our Krishna consciousness, that is. Not necessarily material intelligence, but our spiritual intelligence is taken away. Also our material intelligence, but people don't have much of either. They have less of spiritual intelligence. Therefore, if we act in goodness, then our consciousness won't be carried away. We'll be able to hear Shastra and apply it in our lives much more easily. Etanyapita karmani, etan vimukta kontiya, mo dwaras revirnara, achra yatmana shayas, tato yati pramgati. Anyone who gets free from these three gates leading to hell performs activities conducive to self-realization, and thus he gradually attains his supreme destination. Yakshastra vidim utsrija vartate kama karata nisasidim avatnoti nasukam na param gatim. Although one should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of Shastra, and knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. Tasmat Shastram primanam te karya kari vyastito gyatva Shastra vidanokto karma kartin viharasi. Anyone who gives up Shastra and acts whimsically can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Therefore, one should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of Shastra. And knowing such regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. And of course, at the end of the 15th chapter, Fifteenth chapter. Krishna says, Yomam evam asamudo janiti purushottama sasarvavit pajante mam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatama shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsyat kritak kritastravarata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures. Anyone who knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So we should be happy that we're trying to engage in devotional service and trying to become Krishna conscious, so we're on the best path, but we just have to refine it a little bit. Like, you know, our bodily activities, our speaking, and our mind, and just engage these things in devotional service and Krishna consciousness, and our progress will become very rapid in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? No, he was always engaged in devotional service, just like we're engaged in devotional service.
But he said in the previous verse yesterday that he engaged in the
real pure devotional service. He concentrated his mind completely in Krishna consciousness. You don't just one day wake up and think, well, maybe I should become a pure devotee today. The problem is when you're engaged in other activities, sometimes you don't fully concentrate your mind upon Krishna. Because there's other things you have to concentrate on. But he realized that now is the time to really become serious, and he concentrated his mind fully in Krishna consciousness. Just like we're going along and suddenly a car is about to hit us, and we chant very sincerely, Hare Krishna. So we may have been chanting our rounds, but now we become really serious. All right. Kuala. Grant Raj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.